meticulous in what we do. I do not have time to come back and correct things. Or Honorable Molekwa. They are both in the meeting.
Yes, Chen.
Is that Honorable Molekwa?
Yes, Chen.
Do you second?
Yes, Chen, my apologies. There were areas where I could not hear. I indicated earlier that to the secretary that I have got network challenges. So, yeah, I have seen the report. I second, Chen.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molekwa. Thank you very much. The report is adopted. Do you reserve your rights? Honorable Tablange?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Shembeni? Where is Shembeni?
Yes,
can you please reserve your rights?
I reserve my rights, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Shembeni, I have heard you. I will never forget you. Reverend Meshu, do you reserve your rights?
At times, Chairperson, you miss something that you see later. I think it's always safe to say, I reserve my rights. Thank you so much.
Sorry, what did I say now, Reverend? What did I do wrong?
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong.
Oh,
you are doing very well.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Meshu. You reserve your rights. Honorable members, could I ask the whip just to chair for 5 minutes, please? Honorable whip, could you chair for 5 minutes? I unfortunately have to take this phone call.
Okay,
is
Chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Honorable whip. Could I please, I'll be back in 5 minutes. I have read the report. It's a very good report. Honorable whip, handing over to you.
Thank you. Can we move to the next item or report? Hey, you are running fast. Let's start again from the beginning. Yeah, there is a report, honorable members, draft budget review and recommendations report of the Portfolio Committee on Police on the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. One introduction, 1.1, mandate, 1.2, on. Two, overview. Three, report of the Auditor General. Four, statement of financial performance, 21-22. Five, performance against predetermined targets. Six, human resources. Seven, role of private security. Eight, committee observations. Continue. Nine, committee recommendations. 2, 3, 4. Ten, conclusion.
Thank you, Honorable Work. I'm back. In conclusion, sure. The committee chairperson stated, they indicated that Cyril was
recording
one of
stopped.
Oh,
recording
my
in progress.
Disappeared now. Something disappeared. Honorable members, Babawa, you took my. I don't have a hard copy here. All right. The chairperson thanked everyone. The committee noted in the assessment that close attention should be paid to the authority, and the chairperson instructed the committee staff to schedule CIRA more often, and that when we draft the committee programs, we have agreed that CIRA has to be on a priority on our list of. The report is presented to you for consideration. Do I have a proposal for the adoption?
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the report as presented.
Honorable Malekwa, could we ensure that she was in the meeting? Do I have a seconder? Honorable Siabi, seconds. Could you verify that, please, Babawa?
Yes, I was there.
Yes, yes. Honorable Molekwa.
Oh, Siabe, Honorable Siabe, you always there. I'm just verifying. I cannot make mistakes today.
Yes, sir. Okay. Honorable Molekwa was present in the meeting.
Honorable, what we can't come back to this. There's no time for us to come back to these reports. They have to be passed in the House. Honorable members, those who reserve your rights. Honorable Sir Blanche.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you.
Honorable
Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that takes care of the CIRA report. Next item, please. Nicolette.
Chairperson, thank you so much. Good morning. Chair, I think we can do the minutes now of the meetings.
Thank you very much, Nicolette. You can start with the minutes. You can fly the minutes, please. Babawa. Babawa, we'll take a 5-minute break so that you can get everything in order, all the minutes. Honorable minutes in order. Could you please be patient?
And may I, Chairperson, please?
Honorable Meshu. Thank you. Thank you very much. You owe me a phone call.
Thank you.
You also owe me an appreciation. You know for what?
It's coming. Don't worry, Chairperson.
All you need to say is thank you, and our prayers have been answered. Honorable Members, please give Papawa an opportunity.
Chairperson, if I may, maybe we could maybe start with the DNA Board's annual report, and then we can do the minutes after the consideration.
Nicolette, Babawa has just called. She has technical difficulties. She has challenges. Nicolette, can you assist Babawa? Babawa has challenges. What do you have available for me now?
Oh, you know, apologies, Jay. Jefferson, I can slide the minutes.
Nicolette, you and Babawa, don't become flustered. I know I've put you under tremendous pressure. So, Nicolette, Babawa has difficulties. Could the two of you just sort it out? And once you're ready, you can call me and then we'll reconvene the meeting. We'll adjourn for 5 minutes. You'll sort out your technical problems. Babawa has load shedding. So Nicolette, could you then assist Babawa? And once you're ready, you give me a phone call. What now, Nicolette?
We have the minutes available. I can share them.
You can share them now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Nicolette. You can start. Sorry for the inconvenience. Nicolette, I know you've been working, you and Babawa have been working really late hours to ensure that we have all these documents and that they are very, very well structured, and I would like to express the committee's appreciation for this. The minutes of the 12th of October. The following members, Marekwa Moss, Train Peacock Siabe, Ter Blanche Whitfield, and Shembeni. Josie, apologies from Molekwa. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, 6, 7. Do I have a proposal for adoption of the minutes? Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes?
Good morning, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Peacock. You propose?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Chair.
Seconded at Majosi. Next. Could we have the next set of minutes, please?
Chairperson, the next set of minutes will only be adopted next week.
Thank you very much, Nicolette. That brings us to the end of the minutes. Could we have the next item, please?
Chairperson, good morning. We can move over to the DNA Ethics Board now.
Thank you very much. Who's going to introduce the topic? Is Mr. Ramaru still here?
Hi, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson.
Yes.
You are talking to Raymond Sono, the Deputy Chairperson of the DNA Board.
Wonderful. Good morning, Deputy Chair. Are you?
Good morning, Honorable.
Introducing? Nobody, they introduce you.
We were not introduced, but all is well.
No, so could you introduce your members who are here?
Yeah, yes, Chair.
Honorable Sheikh Imam and Majosi will be joining the Chief Whips Forum. Honorable Deputy Chair, My apologies for this. You are normally introduced by an official. So this protocol, breach of protocol, will be communicated to the minister and deputy minister. It's unacceptable that the board is not introduced. So I humbly apologize that you have to introduce your and introduce the board members. Honorable Deputy Chair, could you please show your face and ask your members to show their faces so that we could recognize? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hope this will work well for me. Here I am.
Yes, we can see your handsome face. Welcome. You can introduce the other members.
Here, Chair, and the Honorable members of the House, we have got the following members of the board. In the first place, here we have got Dr. Illers. Dr. Illers, please, if you may show your face as well.
Good morning, everybody. Apologies, I do not have a camera on my computer here at my office. Apologies for that.
Apologies accepted.
Secondly, we have got Dr. Mieza N.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Mieza. I'm not so sure if he's struggling also with his...
Honorable Deputy Chair, we know that network and connectivity is a problem and a challenge. So I think we should just be patient. Let us be patient with one another.
All right.
Please take your time.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Deputy Chair, if you don't have your members and they join later, you could always introduce them later again. I would like to welcome you and your team. And thank you for the work you are doing under difficult circumstances. The committee doesn't often get the opportunity to express its gratitude, but kindly be assured of the fact that your hard work is not going unnoticed. We are concerned about the forensic science laboratories, and thank you very much for the assistance you have been giving us in this regard. Convey that gratitude to your chairperson as well. And as we've indicated, the committee would like to see more of you. We wouldn't just like to see you when we do the BRRR reports. The committee has also decided that we are going to be visiting some of the forensic science laboratories. At the occasion of the oversight visits, I would also like the staff to invite you to one of our oversight visits. You are welcome, and you can indicate who will do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We, as I observed already in the list, we still have some members who are here from the board, but let us take it straight to the presentation.
Please. Deputy Chair, introduce your members as you have them. Who's still here?
We have got Mr. T. Ramaru, as you already gave an apology already. But we have got Ms. Ndlela A, and we have got Mr. Murema D, and we have got...
Can they show their faces first?
Sorry?
Could they show their faces if they have a video?
There they are, Ms. Akona there, Mr. Murema there.
No, man, I don't see anybody here.
I can view them clearly on my gadget.
Is there something wrong with my gadget? Nicolette, can you see faces?
There could be. I can be able to view them myself this side.
I don't see any face.
I don't see anybody. What happened to my vision?
Chairperson, I don't see any face.
I can see the faces, too.
Nicolette, help me with my gadget, isn't it? No faces here. I put on your view also, Nicolette. Today I'm challenged.
I put on your You can see Ms. Akwana now.
In the gallery.
In her powder blue top there.
There. Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Akwana. Now I can see you. There, I can see her now. Good morning. Good morning, sir. Thank you very much.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you very much. You can close your video now. You can start your presentation. Thank you very much.
Lastly, we have Advocate R. Rawat as well. And Ms. Akwana will be taking us through the presentation.
Thank you. You may start. Where's the presenter?
Ms. Ndela, your microphone is muted.
Deputy Chair, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Now we can hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair, for this opportunity. I'm going to take you through a snapshot of the DNA Board's annual report on the progress made thus far on its functioning in executing the Board's oversight mandate over the operations of the Forensic Science Laboratory, as well as the National Forensic DNA Database. And the period covered on this presentation is from 1st April 2021 until 31st March 2022. And at the end of this presentation, after conclusion, we are also going to briefly appraise the pick-up about the emerging issues that are the current focus areas for the DNA Board in enhancing the operations of the NFSL and the NFKD. Slide three. Then in terms of our presentation overview, it covers two parts. Part A is the mandate, board composition, governance, board plan of action and objectives, operational challenges, and outcome of the complaints handled. And then on our part B, we are going to make a reflection on the DNA analysis performance of the Forensic Science Laboratory. We are going to look at the maturity of the National Forensic DNA Database, compliance by detectives with sampling of persons arrested and charged for Schedule 8 offenses. We're also going to look at the forensic investigative leads that were completed for the previous financial year. Slide four. Chairperson, in terms of our mandate, the functions of the board are detailed in terms of Section 15Z of the DNA Act and include providing regular, independent, and effective governance and oversight function over the overall operations of the National Forensic DNA Database, ensuring that ethical, legal, and social implications of the use of forensic DNA in criminal investigations are considered, and receiving and assessing complaints from any affected person regarding any alleged violation regarding the use of DNA samples and forensic DNA profiles, as well as any security breaches in the database and all processes. Concerning the board's reporting obligations, we are required in terms of Section 15AC of the DNA Act that on annual basis, we must report to the National Assembly on the board's functioning, as we hereby do now. We are also compelled in terms of Section 15Z to report to the minister on the outcome of the complaints assessed and handled by the board. Now proceeding to slide five, where we are talking about the board's composition. Our board is composed of four public and six private sector representatives who collectively possess sound knowledge and constitutional law, amongst others, as can be seen in the table that we have provided in slide five. The board is currently chaired by senior counsel of the High Court Advocate Nkosi Thomas. The rest of the board members are as depicted on the table.
Our slide six depicts the changes in the board composition for the previous financial year or the reporting period. Currently, the board is operating with 9 members, and that has been occasioned by the resignation of Ms. Elida Crew, who resigned as a board member effectively from 31st March 2022, and she was a representative of the Department of Health. The minister has been duly informed about these changes and as the legislation prescribes, and all due processes to fill the position are being followed. The second change came about as a result of the former Secretary of Police tenancy that came to an end in December 2021, which therefore positioned the current acting secretary of the CSPS as the board member representing the department as provided for by Section 50V of the DNA Act. Now, in terms of board governance, Chair, during the reporting period, the DNA board secretariat has over time played a central role in ensuring that the board realizes its function. This was done through developing board governance rules and procedures in accordance with the prescriptions of the DNA Act. And these rules and procedures are supported by the respective subcommittees, which are further emulated by the terms of reference to provide a framework for the effective and efficient functioning of the board. And the subcommittees are comprised of at least 3 members, some serving on more than one committee. During the reporting period, 2 committees were established. One is ad hoc committee, which has effectively been changed to planning committee. And its purpose is to develop a plan of action to oversee the 8 objectives of the turnaround strategy for the division forensic services. And over the longer term, the imperative of the board will be to determine whether the purpose of the strategy has been realized. The second subcommittee is a public relations subcommittee, which serve to promote awareness on the board's existing function and mandate, and also to broaden media awareness, and also to expand an online presence and communication services from a central point. Now, this slide is going to focus on the board's plan of action vis-a-vis the FSL turnaround strategy. FSL is Forensic Science Laboratory. Chair, we do recall that during the board's inaugural and introduction to the National Assembly in March 2021, the board presented a plan of action in response to the turnaround strategy of the Division Forensic Services. And both the board's plan of action and the division strategy aimed at bringing stability to the lab environment. And maybe before I can proceed to slide 9, which will talk to the board's plan of action, through you, Chair, if we elaborate on some of the developments on the progress that has transpired thus far as it strives to realize the turnaround strategy. For an example, increasing the division's operations capacity of the laboratory, as I comprehend, it is twofold, human as well as physical resource capacitation. For human resource capacitation, where we talk of home bodies, we acknowledge as the board that it is an ongoing and a gradual process, and it is not something that can be done that can be totally achieved in its entirety all at once. However, as the board, we appreciate seeing critical positions having been filled, positions that would have had a dire impact to the lab if left open for quite some time. For an example, the position of the component head as well as the biology section head were filled during the reporting period. And we suppose that has helped a lot in bringing the stability within the FSL environment. Also, we were advised that 73 admin positions comprising of 47 interns and 26 contractors were deployed to be utilized in the business value chain of the laboratory under the reporting period. And we have been informed that the division will absorb all of them on a full-time basis before the end of the contract period. Coming to physical resources, where in the FSL environment, we'll be talking about infrastructure, lab equipment, consumables, reagents. We have been advised that batch capacity of machines for both the Western Cape and the GP labs were increased. For Western Cape, for an example, 8 thermoshakers, 10 centrifuges, and 2 genetic analyzers were acquired for crime index lane. For GP, 12 thermoshakers, 12 centrifuges, and 3 genetic analyzers were acquired. Also, the critical contracts for procurement of consumables, reagents, maintenance, and calibration of machinery were established and will be proactively monitored. So when we look again at the FSL's turnaround strategy, where we talk about the proposal for entering into the public-private partnership, which is the triple P's, in respect of supplementing the SAPS's forensic laboratory in improving efficiency and reducing backlog. It is still under exploration pending a developmental validation study that is currently being undertaken on the proposed instruments, and engagements are continuing with the relevant stakeholders. Now moving to slide 9, which is the board's plan of action. The identified areas of concern which the board wanted to monitor in an incremental approach include an improvement of supply chain and contract management systems and processes. Delays in the approval of DNA amendment bill, delays in the assignment of service level agreement between the South African Police Service and the Federal Bureau of Investigation in respect of acquiring CODIS to conduct familial searches, delays in the establishment of dedicated units to follow up and investigate forensic investigative leads, as well as delays in the rollout of awareness campaigns. Now, the following slides are going to determine or to reflect as to whether some of these objectives were achieved or not. On slide 10, under down management of ring-fence backlog, we are saying with the intervention of the board, a special project was established, and it aimed at separating or isolating the existing backlog at the time, which had been carried over during the previous years, to treat it as a priority and to be able to effectively track progress and report on it. Chair, the project commenced in June 2021 with a total of 180,191 backlog matters that were ring-fenced. On 31 March 2022, which is the end of the reporting period, the ring-fenced backlog had been reduced by 138,651, which accounts for 76.95%, effectively translating to 41,540 remaining backlog at the end of 2021-2022 financial year. So we are saying the 76.95% has been completed within 10 months. So the board foresees achieving the total eradication of the specified ring-fenced cases at the expected turnaround time, which was initially set as November 2022. Now coming to objective number 2 as per the board's plan of action, which is to monitor and improve supply chain and contract management systems and processes, which included the optimization of the levels. Chair, with this one, the contract management challenges, we are admitting and acknowledging that it has not been completely resolved. However, there is a commendable improvement compared to the previous financial years. For an example, a total of 13 bids were awarded during the reporting period, including a contract for the construction of the Eastern Cape Forensic Science Laboratory for DNA processing, which we feel as a board it will have an overarching impact on the decentralization of services. We have also placed to ensure continuous improvement in supply chain processes, particularly in relation to the availability or calibration of contracts by the division. What the division does is holding weekly priority committee meetings for consideration of critical procurement files to support the need for forensic products and address the DNA backlog. And they also do monthly stock taking by store managers as a means to enhance management of forensic items and consumables. The board will continue to monitor the effectiveness of these systems. Now moving to slide 12. Which is monitoring of progress in the signing of service level agreement between SAPS and Federal Bureau of Investigation in respect of acquiring CODIS to allow for conducting of familial searching. Maybe if I can just brief, familial searching is an intentional search of the database conducted for the purposes of potentially identifying close biological relatives of the unknown forensic sample associated with the crime scene profile. Chair, the board has been monitoring the progress on signing of the service level agreement to acquire CODIS software, and the latest update on the progress is that the document is currently being processed by the National Commissioner for finalization. The board will follow through on this progress with timelines. Now moving to slide 13, which addresses the delays in the approval of DNA amendment bills. The board chair has worked closely with the CSPS in ensuring that the DNA bill was tabled before the National Assembly for enactment. It has been adopted and it is approved in principle, and it has been referred to the National Assembly for deliberation. Now moving to slide 14. Sorry, Chair. I got lost a little bit in my presentation. Now slide 14 addresses the delays in the establishment of forensic investigative units. Chair and the committee, the establishment of forensic investigative units to follow up and investigate forensic leads is a statutory requirement prescribed in terms of the DNA Act and the supporting amended regulations 12 of 2020 that every teams in ensuring that forensic investigative leads, multiple offenders, and serial psychologically motivated crimes are successfully investigated and resolved. Chair, sadly, these units have not yet been established, pending an organizational developmental study that is being undertaken to assess the efficient means of establishing and operationalizing these forensic investigative units in the provinces. We have also been recently appraised with the progress that the draft amended structure of the SAPS has been updated to include these dedicated units within crime detective units in the provinces, and that the amended structure must first be presented and discussed at the next SSPC meeting before it can be approved for implementation. The SSPC is a Safety Security Sectoral Bargaining Council. So as the board, we are saying we view the need for establishment of these units in a very serious light, as these are a cornerstone of our criminal justice system, because what forensic investigative leads do is that they provide investigators with information linking serial and multiple offenders to various crime scenes, which is very crucial in a country such as South Africa, where the rate of reoffending is at its peak. The last objective was to also address the issue of a delay in the rollout of awareness campaigns. Chair and the committee, we are delighted to report that the process has commenced. We started it by establishing a PR committee at the beginning of this year, which is around February. The logo for the board has been approved. As you can see in our documents now that we do have a logo. We are in the process of procuring the marketing material for the board awareness. We also intend to hold two events, one this financial year and the other one the next financial year, where we want to formally launch the board as it was never launched. Now moving to operational challenges on slide 16. Chair, we have reflected on the fact that the implementation of public awareness and stakeholder engagement drive have not yet been operationalized owing to what I've just alluded to, the lack of distinguishable brand identity on the board's ability to create necessary public awareness. However, that has recently been addressed. The logo was approved in 2022. We have also reflected on the fact that the delays in rolling out of awareness campaigns meant that the board have been relatively operating as an unknown entity to the general public, and as such, affected individuals may not have been familiar with the board's mandate or their right to lodge complaints. However, despite this limitation, the board has, towards the end of the financial year, had its logo finalized and said that the board received, assessed, and investigated two complaints. One has been successfully resolved, whilst the other is still under investigation. And as the legislation prescribed, Minister was appraised of the formal report with regards to the complaint that has been successfully resolved and completed. The next slide will address the outcome of the complaint that I've just made reference to. As we can see in slide 17, we are authorized by Section 15Z of the DNA Act to handle DNA-related complaints from the public. And we are as well obliged to report to the minister the outcome of every complaint. Chair, as you may see, this complaint that we received, it was kind of a high-profile matter, and it caught a lot of media attention. As you can see, that as per the picture that I have depicted here. Now, moving to slide 18, where I'm going to give the summary of the complaint. The complaint contains dissatisfaction with the quality of SAPS investigation regarding the missing person and the DNA results of the body that had been found. There had also been an alleged failure by police to follow up on the evidence leads provided by the family. And maybe if I can also add, this was a GBV and femicide complaint, Chair. So when the board received the complaint, it resolved to investigate it jointly with other relevant stakeholders within the JCPS cluster. One of the resolutions that was agreed upon was to apply for a search warrant with a specific objective to excavate or to dig the family bedroom of the missing person. This was motivated by an allegation that the missing person's husband had removed and later replaced the bathtub during the period his wife went missing. So the search warrant was granted by the magistrate of the jurisdiction, and it was executed on 31st August 2021. This then led to a gruesome discovery of the missing person's remains that were found buried under a bathtub in her marital home. The husband was apprehended and charged in connection with the murder of his wife, as well as defeating the ends of justice. The accused is currently remanded in custody, and the next trial date is 28 October 2022, which is this month. The cooperation and joint effort by all relevant stakeholders and the collective expertise resulted in a breakthrough on one of the many complex GBV matters that go unresolved or unnoticed. So we are reflecting and saying this does not only underscore the importance of the DNA board's oversight function over the use and handling of DNA samples in criminal investigations, but also the significance of collaborative partnerships in dealing with the GBV pandemic as a nation. Now we are moving to part two, Chair. Part two, which is covering the DNA analysis performance. So in exercising its oversight mandate, the board receives briefings on quarterly basis from the Division Forensic Services, of which the Forensic Science Laboratory is one component. So we have reflected, as per the table here, on five areas under the DNA analysis performance, one being the down management of backlog, two being the finalization of cases in terms of workload reduction on both backlog alongside with the oncoming cases. We have also reflected on finalization of departure samples from receipt and upon registration. And lastly, the number of DNA match reports that were prioritized by the labs and issued to courts. So in terms of item number one in the table, in terms of down management of the fence backlog, I've already alluded to this one, Chair, that the lab completed 76.95% in a space of less than 10 months, which is quite commendable. This is in relation to the special project for the fence backlog that commenced during quarter two with 180,191 cases, and that resulted in 631 completed cases, effectively reducing the referral backlog to 41,540 at the end of March 2022. Then moving to number two, in terms of finalization of the total backlog as well as the oncoming cases, at the beginning of the financial year, which is 2021-2022, the backlog number of cases was at 241,152. At the end of the reporting period, the workload was sitting at 154,204, of which out of that, only 52,201 were buccals. The rest were the other categories of exhibits, either from routine, non-routine. Moving to number three, which talks to finalization of buccal samples from receipt and registration. Chair, on the with a concern that only 2.7% of buccals translating to 2,433 out of 91,796 were finalized within the specified target date of 30 calendar days. And only 3.9% translating to 3,544 out of 91,796 were analyzed from registration within the prescribed period. So what this basically means is that the target of 30 calendar days in respect of receipt and registration of UCAS samples is what the FSL must achieve, and it was not met. Furthermore, as we can see on this slide, only a fraction of the percentage was completed within the specified turnaround time of 30 days. However, in spite of this low percentage, this does not mean that the other UCAS that could not reach the target of 30 days were completely neglected. It only means that upon receipt, these other UCAS were registered and processed outside the 30 calendar day turnaround period. So at a glance, these numbers may appear a bit unsettling. However, in reality, what this basically means is that if we are saying at the end of the financial year, the laboratory was left with that total which I've given, which is 154,204 exhibits that had not been processed. And we have further established that out of that 154,204, only 52,201 accounted for referent index pupils. Then this means that a total of 39,595 pupils were in fact processed during the period. However, out of that number, only a fraction is depicted in the table, which is 3,544 were processed within 30 calendar days. So for the board, Chair, this evoked a logical reasoning or an inference that the slow pace at which UCAS samples were being analyzed at the time might have a ripple effect on cases being struck off the court roll due to unavailability of DNA reports or the delay thereof. So the FSL, which is the laboratory, was engaged, and this resulted in an initiative between the Forensic Science Laboratory and the National Prosecuting Authority, establishing a nodal point in which cases on the court roll are clustered as per the court date and communicated to the laboratory via an email. The laboratory then prioritizes the analysis of these exhibits as per the court dates that are imminent. And as a result of this initiative or project, a total of 10,000, as depicted there in the last paragraph of my table, a total of 10,493 DNA mesh reports were prioritized by the lab and issued to courts during the reporting period. And I'm certain that figure has even gone up now. However, as we have already indicated, this presentation is confined to the previous financial. Now we are moving to slide 20. We are moving to assess the performance of the National Forensic DNA Database, that is the NFDD. Mentioned, Chair, that the NFDD is managed independently of the FSL. Its overall performance and efficacy is judged by a number of profiles loaded into the various indices. And in particular, the goal is to ensure higher loading rates on the convicted offender, arrestee, and crime scene indices. So during the reporting period, 26,000, can we move to, sorry, Shay, on no slide problem. 20.
No problem, sure. We are 21, where are you? You're on 20, you can continue?
Yes, on 20, Shay. So during the reporting period, 26,961 profiles were loaded on crime scene index, and 138,779 profiles were loaded on the arrestee index. During this period, Chair, no convicted offender sampling took place pending the finalization of the amendment of the DNA bill. Therefore, as we can see on the table, if we are looking at table 21, the profiles that we are going to see, the 1,236 profiles reflected there under the convicted offender index are the profiles for persons who were sampled during arrest and were later convicted. So the profiles are then transferred from arrested to a convicted index. Again, during this period, as we look at the total, we can see that there was a significant uptick in the number of forensic DNA profiles loaded versus those that were expunged. As can be seen in the table, 166,894 profiles were loaded onto the various indices, whilst only 49,653 were expunged. I'm going to skip table 20, slide 21, because it reflects to the narrative that I've already talked to. They're now looking at the maturity of the National Forensic DNA Database. As we can see, as the graph depicts there, during the reporting period, the NFDD has shown a significant improvement by 13.2% with regards to the number of profiles loaded. At the beginning of the financial year, the database started off with 743,710 profiles. At the end of the reporting period, a total of 856,814 profiles were loaded. Now, coming to the compliance by detectives in terms of sampling of persons arrested for Schedule 8 offenses. Chair, the taking of the sample Schedule 8 offences is now an obligation prescribed by Section 36D, subsection 1 of the DNA Act. If that period, this has not been a legislated obligation. So one can therefore draw an inference that apart from the non-availability of bucal samples that affected the country during the previous financial years, for an example, 2018-19 and 19-20. This probably was one of the other contributing factors to the low compliance rates by detectives nationally in sampling of Schedule 8 offences. However, as can be seen in the table that will follow, for the reporting period, it is quite commendable that the laboratory reported an 83% compliance rate against the annual operational plan target of 70% in terms of sampling and processing of bucal samples from persons arrested and charged for Schedule 8 offences. In context, out of 154,879 persons arrested and charged, 128,515 bucal samples were obtained. So we are saying, though this is commendable, considering that our compliance went above the set AOP 70 target at that time, a lot of intervention still needs to be done in ensuring that going forward, there is 100% full compliance in terms of sampling of persons, because it is now a legislative compliance. And this legislative compliance is more dependable on the ability of detectives to collect bucal samples, which is also critical to the success of the National Forensic DNA database, and ultimately the goal of the police to optimally utilize forensics in criminal investigation. And we have noted, Chair, that the provision of training, which is also an obligation in terms of the DNA Act, should be prioritized by the relevant divisions, that is the HRD. It also goes without saying that the monitoring of availability of bucal samples at station level needs to be monitored by all relevant stakeholders, that is the supply chain management, provincial commanders, and there should be command and control systems that should be in place to ensure that going forward, the detectives achieve 100% in terms of this obligation. Moving to slide 25. Chair, with your permission, if I can skip slide 25, because it says exactly the same thing that I've explained, I think in slide 14, when we were talking about the importance of established forensic investigative units.
Agreed. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Now moving to 26. The slide 26, we are going to reflect on forensic investigative leads reported for known leads and unknown persons respectively for the period 2021-2022. So as can be seen in the two figures here on this table, a total of 2,109, sorry Chair, that figure is 2,109 known persons were linked to criminal cases in the period under review. And then in 580 cases, criminal cases were linked, but the persons were still unknown. Then in slide 27, we are going to reflect on finalized forensic investigative leads. So basically what happens here, Jay, is that in the preceding year, the forensic leads are issued from the NFDD for follow-up, which is currently done by the detectives in the provinces. Because as I have already alluded, the forensic units have not yet been established. And the number then that has been issued determines the baseline, as we are going to see in this table. So we are saying, in spite the fact that the forensic investigative units have not been established as yet, the SAPS has prioritized the follow-up and investigation of forensic investigative leads, and this is included in the performance technical indicators of the SAPS's annual operational plans, that is the AOP. As per the below table, a total of 561 DNA person to crime leads were issued. However, only 38%, translating to 217 out of 561, were finalized. Then in 424 DNA to crime leads that were issued during the reporting period, only 17.2%, translating to 73 out of 424, were finalized, which is why, Chair, we are saying it is important that the forensic investigative units are established to follow up on these forensic investigative leads indicated in this figure, which will lead to the improvement of detection of convicted offender rate and offenders. On conclusion, Chair, we are saying, notwithstanding that there are areas that still require regular oversight, particularly strengthening the systems on the management of contracts by the Division Forensic Services, a great deal of strides, as you can see and as I have reported, and continuous improvement have been noted in the performance of the lab and the general throughput of the both the Forensic Science Laboratory and NFDT, particularly in the following areas, previously alluded to. 76.9%, 95% down management of reference backlog, the finalization of the backlog against the incoming number of cases for the reporting period, loading of profiles on various indices, that is 13.2% from the previous financial year. We have noted 83% compliance rate by detectives nationally in sampling of persons arrested for Schedule 8 offences. And we are saying, going further, the board will engage the National Commissioner in taking full responsibility to ensure that there is always a sufficient supply of buccal samples and crime kits at the station level, and that relevant personnel is trained in conducting samples in order to fully comply with the DNA Act. So lastly, Chair, as promised, that at the end of our presentation, we would like to appraise the PCOP in terms of the emerging issues that are the current focus areas for 2022-2023, which is what we are currently busy now. We can see there on the table that we still have got the DNA casework down management. It remains a matter of priority for the board. Until such time, the FSL backlog would be below an acceptable international standard of below 10%. We are also reflecting on the fact that the deadline for the initial project for the ring-fence backlog was November 2022. We will continue to oversee the project until it is totally eradicated. What we are also busy with currently is to oversee and monitor the capacitation of the forensic science laboratories, Chair. And we are doing that by doing the oversight visits to all the labs nationally. These oversight visits are primarily aimed at conducting assessment with the aim to identify operational capacity and human resource factors, as well as gaps and challenges in the supply chain management and procurement processes that might have a direct adverse impact to the general throughput of the biology section of the forensic science laboratory. And once we are done with these visits, we'll produce a consolidated report that accordingly advises the minister as well as the people. Then we will continue to oversee the implementation of the continuous sampling of convicted offenders. We acknowledge that the continuation of the convicted offender sampling program is essential because the convicted offender index on the NFDD, it provides an important link for resolving of cold cases and apprehending repeat offenders. So as we are currently awaiting for the amendment to be finalized, we note that it makes further provisions for dealing with refusals by convicted offenders to have buccals taken. So once that process of amending the DNA bill gets finalized, we want to be in a position to oversee that there are systems in place to implement the continuous sampling of offenders serving the benefits for that are set out for Schedule 8, which will be instrumental in the maturity of the NFDD in terms of profiles, low data, the convicted offender index. Then we are also going to continue, which is something that we have action to oversee the implementation of the optimal supply management processes by the forensic service, by the SCM and detectives and forensic services to improve efficiency and promote optimized supply chain and contract management systems and processes, particularly in relation to ensuring that these are streamlined for the optimal functioning of the lab and the NFDD, particularly in relation to availability of consumables and reagents, the maintenance and calibration of machinery and contracts, availability of buccal and crime kits in order to ensure compliance with the Act in sampling of persons arrested for Schedule 8 offenses. So operationally, as we're going to be doing these audits of crime kits and buccal kits at the stations, Chair, we thought that we could also pair it with the board's vision where we want to conduct station audits at the top 30 GPV crime areas to also establish, do these stations have enough supply of the buccal samples? Are they complying with the DNA Act in terms of the processing of DNA samples? Also, audit their SAP 13 stores to check, are they complying in terms of timeous conveyance of these exhibits to the DNA laboratory for examination? But we are only going to focus only on the top 30 GPV crime areas. We are also going to number five, follow up on the establishment of the dedicated units to investigate the forensic investigative leads. We cannot overemphasize it enough, the importance of having these units, Chair, as dedicated structures in each and every province with dedicated human resources, both material and human. Then the last one, we are going to continue to follow up on the finalization of the service level agreement for CODIS by the National Commissioner. That is the end of our presentation. Thank you, Chair. I submit.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lela, for a very, very good presentation. This is one of the most important matters that we have been considering and working on as a committee. Mr. Ramaru, are you still on the platform? I noted that your name was back on the platform. Before we take the hands of members of the committee, Mr. Ramaru, you are the accounting officer. The board falls under the secretariat, and you are the accounting officer for the board. You are given an opportunity to speak now. You can remove the slide.
Chairperson.
Sorry, could you remove the slides, please? Thank you. Mr. Ramaru.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I want to confirm that the presentation as done by Ms. Ndlela is the true reflection of the work that the board is doing. As the Secretariat will continue to support the board in carrying out its mandate, so which includes supporting them when they have to do visits in different laboratories for them to report based also on the evidence of things that they have seen when they visit. We are also working with the board to make sure that the work of the board is also marketed to the communities or the public out there so that they can start now to come to the board for assistance as and when the need arises. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ramaru. I've noted a list of hands. Please, honourable members, you know that this has been a matter of serious concern for the committee. I've noted firstly Honourable Whitfield, Siabe, Terblanche, and then Shimbeni in that order. Honourable members, could you mute your mics, please? Those who did presentations, could you mute your mics? Honourable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the DNA board and to the presenter. Chair, before I ask some questions, it would be very helpful if you could indulge me and allow the presenter to put slide 23 back up, because I believe it requires some clarity, which she provided verbally in her conclusion, but the slide 23, I think, contradicts her input in terms of the effective date of the current Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, which has not yet been signed into law. Slide 23, thank you. Just one second. Slide 23, the first bullet point. State offences is now an obligation prescribed by 36D1 of the DNA Act, effective 31 January 2022. Now, Chairperson, I just wanted to check if we can get on that, because it's my understanding that that very specific amendment has not been signed into law by the President of January, and that the NCOP only finalized its deliberations on that bill in September. So that is the first point that I think just requires some clarity. The presenter did absolutely correctly say in her conclusion that the bill still needs to be signed into law. It is with the President. The second point, Chairperson, and thank you for indulging me with that slide. I no longer require it. The second point I'd like to raise, Chairperson, and you'll recall the fight that I had with the Minister and some members of the committee had with the Minister.
Sorry, my apologies, Honourable Whitfield. You can remove the slide now. You have a correct point, Honourable Whitfield. Those dates are inconsistent with what we actually have experienced.
Thank you, Chair.
Can I continue, Honourable Whitfield?
I've now got some more dates, Chair. And,
yes, you can continue. I have the same concerns, so you can continue.
You will recall that the committee has been the champion together with civil society on this bill since 2019 in the Sixth Parliament. And we warned the minister in 2019 that the term of the previous board was coming to an end at the end of January 2020. To be specific, the 31st of January 2020 is when the previous board's term expired. The minister took no action to advertise for appointments that we're aware of to the new board. We then have the DNA board annual report saying that the current board was appointed in May 2020, but the Act requires that the minister must table that before Parliament within 14 days. And I know that during the course of that year, I repeatedly asked the minister when he would appoint the board. And the board was only, in fact, so far as parliamentary records will reveal, appointed in October 2020, when the names were finally submitted to the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. And so I would like the DNA board to their appointment on the date reflected in the annual report. We were first introduced to the board in March 2021. The board first had its meeting with the minister in November 2020. The dates just don't line up. And I maintained at the time, Chairperson, that the constitution of the current board was flawed through no fault of their own, but through the very specific fault of the minister, who failed to comply with the legislation which requires that the board, a new board, be appointed no more than 5 years after the previous board's term. In fact, let me just read that, because that itself is confusing. The law actually says, Chairperson, that the minister must appoint a board of 10 persons for a period of not more than 5 years. Not more than 5 years is the emphasis. And so the current board was appointed months, in my view, after the previous board's term, and that matter unfortunately cannot be fully ventilated without the minister present, but it is a concern that the dates seem to conflict with Parliament's record, which we need some clarity on. Chairperson, that deals with the date.
Honourable Whitfield, before you continue, Mr. Amara, could you please clarify these matters? These dates are critical. I'm not going to ask the board to clarify that. I do require the very same information requested by Honorable Whitfield. And I'm sure the committee requires that information.
Thanks, Chairperson. May I request that in order for us to give you the accurate dates, maybe we'll be allowed to respond to this in writing?
Mr. Amaru, could you get that information for me, please?
Okay, thanks. I will do so.
I request that we receive that information urgently, please. I'm not going to wait for it in writing. I would like to have it before the end of this meeting.
Thanks. I'm working on it.
Honorable Whitfield, you may continue.
Thanks, Chair. For reference, the 18th indicates the 8th of October as the appointment date of the board. 8th of October 2020.
You are correct, Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair. I do want to draw attention to the long outstanding matter of the service level agreement with CODIS, with the FBI, to enhance and improve our database capabilities. This is a long-standing issue, Chair, that I would appreciate, I think, the committee really highlighting with the National Police Commissioner, who has not really provided any reasons, the new National Police Commissioner, for the service level agreement not being signed. The previous National Police Commissioner dodged these questions as well. We keep this CODIS item on the DNA board agenda, but they don't seem to have the authority or the powers to really make it happen. So we need to please interrogate the National Police Commissioner on this issue, and it's unfortunate that he couldn't be with us today. Chair, I would also like to just highlight, I think, and I think you captured it perfectly during the deliberations on the amendment bill, which was a tremendous victory for the committee ultimately. But the minister's delay in bringing that legislation to Parliament was extremely concerning. But what was even more disappointing was largely the absence of the board in the build-up to the hearings, any contributions to the hearings. You had to instruct the board to appear. It just did not reflect well on the board's responsibility to account to Parliament insofar as its performance is concerned. And I think that we've only once been introduced to the board and they've only appeared one other time before the committee. And so that is some... I don't know what the relationship between civilian secretariat and the board is, whether the board feels that they are subordinate to the CSP, but the board has a duty to report on its performance to Parliament. And I think it would be useful, as it was in 2019 and 2020, that they appear more than once in almost 2 years. Chair, the last point I'd like to make is just if someone on the DNA board can just clarify this, because I think it's important for the record and it's important for the public, because this is a complex matter. In the first half of 2021, and the date slips my mind, the DNA backlog was ring-fenced. I think it was the right move, and there's been tremendous progress thanks to the pressure of civil society and this committee. The second, we've got a ring-fenced backlog, and then we would have been accumulating from the date of that ring-fenced backlog, we would have been accumulating more samples and case exhibits, which would have led to a second backlog. So I presume that the board is monitoring both what I call the current backlog as well as the DNA backlog that had been ring-fenced. So if we can just for, even if it is in the report and the presentation, if it can just be presented, the ring-fenced backlog we have, that is clear in the presentations. What is the current backlog of DNA case exhibits since that date when the previous backlog was ring-fenced? Because that will give us an idea of the enormity of the challenge that we face. And I think it might have been in the numbers in the presentation, but it was just a bit quick and I missed, I think, some of it. Chair, the other point is that the minister committed to eradicate the backlog by September this year, and he did not indicate whether it was the ring-fenced backlog or the current backlog since the ring-fenced date. The board says November, and I recall the board previously saying November, and I accept that. Does the board believe that the entire ring fence backlog will be eradicated before the end of November? And by when will the total backlog fall within the 10% international benchmark required? Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your indulgence. I know it was long.
Honorable Whitfield, there's nothing long about this DNA matter. We have been seized with this matter now, seriously so. And we don't seem to get accurate information. This information keeps on shifting, and I have a long list of all the dates and when you told us that you're going to eradicate the backlog. You've given us information, your information contradicts itself. I could ask Nicolette to put that on the screen right now, because we did an analysis of what you have been telling us. I've consistently asked that you do not come to this committee to lead us. Please do not forget that everything you say here is recorded. And all we need to do is to go back to the records where you have done presentations, where the minister has given us input, and we analyze what you're saying. So you've been extremely inconsistent in what you're saying. Could we finally please be clarified on the backlog that you ring-fenced? You promised us that after you ring-fenced that backlog, you would be able to be on stream, and that you would then be able to do the DNA samples regularly, and that we would not fall into a similar situation. I'm very concerned, still very concerned with this DNA backlog. Unless we get sufficient answers today, we'll still be having a nightmare. Honorable De Blanche and then Honorable Shembeni.
Chairperson, thank you. I have been covered to a large extent by the Honorable Whitfield. I wanted to ask the very same questions about the date, and then more specifically so about the backlog. And I think there's no need for me to still deal with the backlog. I think that was properly explained, and even by yourself. But I think that is something that we need to get very, very definite clarity on, because at the moment it seems that a lot of hard work was done, and yes, it is true. But the question is the backlog, and how does it still impact on, you know, the court roles and stuff like that. Chairperson, then, you know, I also want to raise something, and the board will definitely not be able to respond on that, but we have the secretariat here as well. You know, I mentioned way last year before the end of the term for the person in charge of the secretariat. It is now almost a year later. December, it will be a year. And yet we haven't seen any movement on the appointment and the of that person and the filling of that post. And really, you know, I even mentioned in the past that apparently there is a habit in the ministry not complying with legislation sometimes, and, you know, to not to deal, you know, within a reasonable time to appoint and to fill vacant posts. Chairperson, then, you know, that in the, you know, the final sort of slide, it was well covered, the question of the non-establishment of the forensic investigation units. Chairperson, and that is so critical that I think we need to clarity there as a matter of extreme urgency. Chairperson, and then lastly, I think in terms of capacity, the two forensic laboratories that is bearing the brunt at the moment is the one in Gauteng, Pretoria, and then obviously the modern one in Cape Town. Chairperson, and then it brings me to the finalization or the bringing on board or on stream of the two other forensic laboratories, the one in the Eastern Cape,
And then a very concerning issue is the one in KwaZulu-Natal. Chairperson, I think that at some stage we need to be informed what is happening with the establishing and finalization of those two laboratories. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable de Blanche. Honorable Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I don't have much thanks for the presentation. My simple question is, what impact does the non-functioning of these FSLs, like the one in KZN that is being flooded, what impact does it have in the so-called the backlogs that we have in the DNA results? Because as we look now at these ones, I don't see getting results from these FSLs. So the results that we are getting here on the cases that were reported, cases that have been dealt with, I just quickly want to find out that they may be collecting some of these samples from this FSL, or what is happening, and what is the extent of the damage to the samples that were kept in this FSL?
Thank you, Honorable Benny. Honorable Whitfield, is this a historical end?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mr. Amaru, you may start the responses and you can then ask the board to respond as so required.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will deal with the questions that specifically need the secretariat, and then, as you indicated, then the board will take over. Maybe starting with the question about the appointment of the DNA board secretariat. So I need to indicate that that process has been finalized, and the appointed candidate will be starting or assuming duty from the 1st of November 2022, which is I think in 2 weeks' time. Then the question around the DNA, the taking of baker samples. So I need to indicate that as much as there is a DNA bill that we have processed through Parliament, which the Portfolio Committee is dealing with, so there was a proclamation that was done by the President specifically now on the taking of the buccal samples from the 31st of January 2022. This was done under Section 9 of the Criminal Law Act 2013. And it was signed by the President, I think, on the 16th of December. So we will share the gazette that had dealt specifically with that matter. Chairperson, I will then hand over to the board through you.
Thank you very much. The board may continue.
Honorable Chair, this is again is the Deputy Chairperson of the board.
Thank you, Deputy Chairperson. You may continue, or you may request any of your other board members to respond.
Yes, let me just take few. If they will have to add, they will add on what I will try to answer. The biggest concern, let me talk to the biggest concern of contradictions about or inconsistencies that are being worrying the committee pertaining the backlog. and the ring backlog. When we talk of a ring fence, all the cases that were there prior 1st June 2021, they were not expected to be dealt with after 18 months counting from 1st of June 2021. I think that was presented by the FSL. I think we went to Pretoria West Police College when their venue was small and we moved up there. It was 15th of May 2021, I think so. So I think that was agreed upon. And that is what we are standing on. And are we optimistic that these old cases that we said they must be dealt with by in 18 months, which will be marked on the 30th of November, I think. Are we optimistic that this will be done? From the side of the board, we see a move in a very, very good pace. And we think that if we can say we are left with a lot of cases, for now we can estimate up to between 4,000 to 5,000 cases, which is not a big deal to deal with in terms of all the cases. Now, we talk about the new influx backlog, which is the new oncoming cases that will be that must be dealt with a turnaround time of different categories. You talk of complex, non-routine, routine, intelligence, and so forth, which have got different dates that they are supposed to be finished within, counting with SWAPs, which are controls from arrestees index. I mean, arrestees individual, arrested individuals, or arrestees. Arrestees, which are supposed to be run in an RI lane, which we were told, or we know that it was also capacitated highly. We spoke about it. So now we are talking about this new backlog, which is after, it should be after June up to date. I think the question of the honorable members, they want to know, are we going to be up to par in terms of we will be doing only these cases within that categories threshold from November onwards? They want to know from the board if really we will be having that. We are in a disaster management here when we're dealing with an issue of backlog, which is as a board. So now we want to know, to predict whether we will be having cases that are all of them coming and be dealt within a time frame of turnaround times. In our speculation, because this is what is to come and we have to deduce from the present situation when we check capacities and the flow of work as of observing now. The secretariat ended up her presentation indicating that at the end of her presentation, the cases that were including influx plus the remaining of ring fence were reduced with 24%. That tells us that we are moving in a positive side. We are moving in a positive side, and we will be able to reach that place of having cases that are dealt with, because the suffering which is there now is affected by backlog. They are supposed to deal with backlog, and they are supposed to deal with normal influx, and a normal influx which accumulates into a new backlog is true. But what is happening now is the effort that is put to a backlog now is going to be put to a new backlog. When we say new backlog, we're talking about anything which is not that very old, which has passed only, for an example, when we talk of buccal swabs, it's passed only, if it is 31 days, 32 days, we are now saying it's a backlog. It's not scary as when it has been there for 2 years, 3 years, 19 months. So the efforts which we are putting for a present backlog now, we are going to put that effort in an influx, which we call a new backlog, which is new cases which are not scary. And we are going, I may fail to give an exact date for now, but I know for sure it will be a time that doesn't break anybody's heart, which we are going to reach that space of saying we are done with the backlog, we are done with the flow of influx which exceeds to backlog. But to be accurate and to be straight is we will be having new backlog. And the damage control to that is the NPA FSL nodal point relationship, where all cases that are in court are being looked at and prioritized, and the 212 reports are given, meaning that in that case, the issue of throwing away cases or results will be dealt with. However, it's very important that we need this, if they are intelligent cases in terms of serial links and so forth. But from the both side, from our observations, from our from all our observations that we have made, we are at ease now, as compared to where we were before, that a work is being done, cases are being done. As I said before, when we look at the loadings that are taking place in the NFDD, we can see many profiles are being loaded in the indices. Cases are being done, and we are not expected now, even if we have beeped a bit of what is really happening currently as I'm talking, because we are dealing with issues of 2021. FY. We're not dealing with the current, really current situation. But I am here to tell the pickup, honorable members and the chair, that we may have had a long time of worry. But let us be at ease. We will be. I think the pickup will be smiling. Your efforts are not wasted. Things are happening. The FSL is working. We as the secretariat indicated, we managed also beyond our paper reports. We managed already to visit three labs, and we were able to observe our observations and see. Let me end this by answering what Honorable Shembeni asked, which Honorable Tablanche asked as well, the issue of KZN and Eastern Cape labs. The KZN lab and Eastern Cape labs, they are not fully fledged, but we also observed, we were there, we also observed that they are as well performing. With the lab KZN, it is a surprise because we know it has got many challenges which are always in the news, which are being fixed as we are talking. But regardless of negative forces against the lab is performing. We were there and we did our methodology to find out about everything. The Eastern Cape also, it's I think both labs, they are, the FSL is putting efforts to have them up running to the interpretation level to be fully fledged. We saw also the, but I have to answer these questions. The Eastern Cape is already revamped, and it's a few steps to function fully. but both of the labs. So how they operate, as Honorable Shembeni indicated, yes, they do receive exhibits, and they reduce exhibits into sample levels and the docket. And when the exhibits are in the sample level and a docket level, they post them to fully fledged labs to do submissions, where they do extractions and now the 212 reports, I mean the 212 reports are now extrapolated back to those labs to report to the court. So that is how things are happening. Eastern Cape become it's feeding on Western Cape, and KZN is feeding on head office. But work is going normal, though there is a lot of hurdles. It's going normal as if there are labs that are performing up to the end of interpretation of results. So from the side of the board, standing as a deputy chair, my observations and the observations of the committee, when we look at how work is running, we are convinced that a monster is coming down, and maybe I may fail only to predict a date which I can say during this day this will be done, because that should be done in collaboration with those who are doing work. When we estimate a date before we verify with the FSL, it will be unfair, because we may take them to a highest threshold which a human being might not be able to reach to that. But I repeat, a work is happening, ring fenced, a backlog is getting done off. Let me just say, not to put my head on a block, by November, end of November, in a ring fenced, I estimate at least I'm saying, but that's how things and how work is going. And if not so, almost that number. So this is how the work is going. We are doing our monitoring now and then. We are not spending time before we look at how things are working and how it's supposed to go. And the FSL, they under the very good leadership of General Mlauzi and his Brick Lalele, we see them responding quick to our interventions. That is why we are so much optimistic. There is a very good working relationship between us. Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much. I note, Honorable Whitfield, you would like to be excused. So, Honorable Whitfield, only you can come in now. Honorable Tablanche, I'll give you an opportunity later. Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chairperson, my question was really quite simple, and I'm going to ask it again, and I'm going to demand that the committee get a response. But before I do that, firstly, the person who just spoke, your head is on the block. The entire DNA board's head is on the block, because the report commits to finalizing the DNA backlog, which the ring fence backlog, by November. That is there. That's in black and white. So that must be done. And all indications from the very positive review that is given indicate that that will be done. And this committee will hold the board and the SAPS forensics to account in that regard. But my question is simple, Chair, and it wasn't answered. We know what the ring fence backlog was. The ring fence backlog was ring fenced in June 2021, as we've been told. What I want to know is the actual number of backlog DNA case exhibits since that date. I want to know that figure. Since June 2021, what is the current accumulated backlog, not the ring fence backlog, the current accumulated backlog of DNA case exhibits, and by when will that backlog be dealt with. The very last point, Chairperson, and this is a new question. Does the board foresee any financial challenges or funding challenges to ensure the full implementation of the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Bill? Hopefully it'll be an act sooner rather than later. Do they foresee any funding challenges in making sure the full implementation of that bill takes effect going forward? Thank you very much.
Mr. Amaru or the board, you may respond.
Can I come?
Yes, you may.
Okay. The current backlog in the forensics, which includes let me talk about the current, which is the influx, new and everything. We're talking now about this currently. Let me just talk currently. Now that we are talking, it's verified, it's okay. Is at 81,291, of which the old backlog, which was ring-fenced, is at 11,000. It's at 11,000. Yeah. So the new backlog is at around 81,000 minus 11,000. So the new backlog should be from end of financial year with the two quarters that we have, we have 43% finalization rate from where we gave the report, where the report of annual 2021-2022 ended, meaning that from 2022-2023, first and second quarters that we are in now, we had a 43% finalization rate of comprising of both ring fenced and the new influx, which a new backlog may be calculated from if it is there, if it is more than 42. Now, I do not have records of how many cases in there that has lapsed. They are, in terms of complex cases, 113 and so forth, because they are cases that are being dealt with which I thought before this committee, we cannot disclose until this committee demands that currently, what is it that which we have on the table? So if we check on that, it means we need to do our speculation, checking on a finalization rate of this from what it was from 143.795. And then from 143.795, which was end of 2022-2023, quarter one, end of to quarter two. That's when, from quarter one to quarter two, that's when we had a finalization rate of 43%. And if we have that finalization rate of 43%, we are not obviously expecting under normal circumstances that we shall remain in that finalization rate with these fewer cases that we have. We are expecting to be higher. Therefore, we are talking of completing ring fenced and remain with new, which is not frustrating. Thank you, Chair and the Honorable Member.
Thank you.
But what I said, the chair, is verified, but is not forming part of our report.
Thank you very much. Any further responses?
Okay, there was a question on funding.
Yes, that's why I'm asking for responses. Mr. Amaro, the funding? Honorable Marekwa? Mr. Amaro, could you prepare your response to the funding question? Honorable Marekwa?
Thank you, Chairperson, and once more good morning. Chair, I've been listening to the contributions, the input, and the responses. Maybe also let me start by saying I welcome the presentation made by the boss this morning. And also I take note of the content and the work that has been done so far. Chair, the board presentation reflects on the reduction of the backlog, and some questions and responses have been given. And one has also listened and heard that there's a timeline of November. We can wish them luck, the board luck in that backlog, and hoping that as they finish the backlog, they won't be flooded by other looking at the space of crime, violent crime, GBV, where little children, women are being killed on almost every week in most provinces, and detectives having to wait and submit to the laboratory. We can just wish the board luck in that, and actually it's what we want to see, but we wish them luck in making sure that after dealing with the reinforced backlog, they won't be overwhelmed by another backlog going forward. Why I'm saying that, the detectives are still having a challenge with the time frames, as many of them are still advised or prefer to refer their samples to Cape Town, as because the other labs are not assisting that much. But what is pleasing now is that one heard that there are revamps being done on other facilities within the country. We hope that those can be done faster, and then so that other facilities of laboratories can be utilized equally to the Western Cape. But it will be very important to have in other provinces as well, Chair, to have these laboratories so that we all don't flood Cape Town, KZN, and so on. But all provinces have their labs for ease of doing their work. Also, to just mention that the success in dealing with the backlog that has been mentioned, Chair, we will only see it and believe it when we see the load of the detectives being able to do their work, getting feedback quickly, so that the cases that they are dealing with are appearing before court. Because with the backlog and the delays that have been there, some cases took time or for them to appear in court. But we hope that this success will allow the detectives it will ease the load of work from the detectives of waiting forever for serious cases and not getting feedback timely. The other thing here I wanted to talk to is the calibration and maintenance. You know, we're talking of revamping other facilities, and we are in many areas able to build a world-class facilities, like everyone talks about Western Cape laboratories, but we're lacking on maintenance, making sure that the building, the equipment, everything is up and running. Once we buy these things, they are left there, and then from day-to-day use. Nobody comes and checks the quality assurance and all those other things that are needed to make sure that such facilities are in good maintenance order for a long time. We should not, I would advise the board that and whoever is involved to say that let us avoid this thing of allowing facilities and equipment to be run down, to be at their weakest when we start again to revamp and spend more money. But let us make sure that continuously we maintain and make sure that what needs to be attended to is attended to timeously, so that we avoid issues with Tswananglitsabo backlog and all those other things where all provinces run to Western Cape. And there be also equal attention on all facilities, because even people from housing, some still maybe prefer to send some certain samples to Western Cape. So let us make sure that there's also equal attention given and support to all facilities in the country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marekwa. Honorable Tablanche. In the meantime, I'm still waiting for the response on the budget.
Chairperson, thank you. May I proceed?
Yes, you may.
Chairperson, thank you. You know, the presentation that we got was quite inspiring, but really, you know, I am very disappointed, if not shocked. You know, from what the last two presenters from the board said here, Chairperson, it was quite clear that they were ill-prepared, didn't have all the information, were merely speculating, told us a lot of, I don't know what you can call the information that they conveyed to us. You know, it's not, it didn't add any value to this conversation. The only thing that it did, Chairperson, is to really, you know, highlight the fact that apparently, even at this late stage, this new board are not aware that this is a very important issue and that we are still battling to get on top of this. Chairperson, we cannot even trust the last information that was given to us regarding the backlog, because the last gentleman, Mr. Sono, said that this is checked, but once again, it's not part of their presentation. Chairperson, I think we need to get proper information, and we must really impress on this board that we are serious about this. We cannot allow, you know, just, you know, the laissez-faire approach to continue, and I am very, very disappointed, and I think that, you know, they even need us an apology, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tablanche. Do I have any further hands?
Sorry, Honorable Chair. I'm struggling with my gadget to raise a hand. I'm sorry about that.
No, we're coming to you to give responses.
Yeah.
You may start with the responses.
Thank you, Chair. It's honorable Chair, it's Mr. Sono. To make a follow up on Honorable Tablanche, we thought of staying within previous annual year report which we're coming to present, but one of our honorable members insisted that what is, I'm not sure if it's one of the previous honorable members from the PCOP insisted that we want current status. Current status means information which is now. Information which is now is the two quarters of 2022-2023. The two quarters of 2022-2023. Hence, I said, we know what is in there is verified with the FSL. We know what is it. current information or current appraisal. But we were coming to deal with the issues of annual 2021-2022. But that denies us more information that indicates that there is progression there of dealing. We had to swallow the information which we have, which is the first and the second quarter of 2022-2023 annual year, which we're still going to give a report in due time. But there is a need for the PCOP to understand how is the graph going up to where we are. So I thought, since the information is verified, let me share of this information. Officially, we were here to discuss 2021-2022, but what if it's demanded that what is the current? I apologize if current he was referring to end of fourth quarter 2021, which was looking to be not satisfactory to others. So that is why I gave more progress that was given thereafter. Thank you, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members.
Honorable Members, it is very clear that this matter will not be concluded today. We already now have a very full program for the next quarter. Honorable Whoop, if you are still there, could you please accept that when we prepare the program for the next few months, that we have to include a number of these outstanding matters. Honorable Whoop, you normally approve the program. The DNA board and the DNA matters to serve on the agenda again, with the minister, the deputy minister, and the national commissioner being present in the meeting. Honorable Whoop.
Yes, Chair.
So we're in agreement that we have to place this item on the agenda again.
Yes.
Honorable Members, are you in agreement that we are not going to finish this matter today? I think the more information we're getting, the more concerned we are becoming. I am really, really becoming more concerned. The more you give me responses, the more I require more information. This is just getting me nowhere. Members of the committee, I'm not getting any satisfactory responses. I do believe that we have to put this item on the agenda again with the minister and the national commissioner in the meeting. Honorable Tablange.
Chairperson, thank you. I agree with you, you know, and as I said, my need to achieve today in this meeting is to convince the board that they have a very serious responsibility, and we are going to arrange, or we need to arrange, a follow-up meeting. And if they come back again, they must really come back well prepared with very, very definite figures and no speculations. We don't know, we don't want to hear what they think or what they speculate. We are only interested in facts, Jefferson. We cannot allow this serious crime to go on amongst women and children unhindered. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Tablange, I think we have taken note of a number of questions which have not been responded to. I've been interacting with Nicolette, and she's been taking down these questions. Nicolette is very professional and thorough in her in the execution of her duties.
We'll write to the minister with all those outstanding questions. We are not going to expect him to respond in writing. The DNA board with the civilian secretariat, the minister and the national commissioner will be required to do a follow-up presentation to the committee. I would like to thank the DNA board. It's a very difficult sphere that you are managing, but it is an essential matter for all of us, from gender-based violence to victims of murder. It is such a critical matter. And we would not be able to see justice for any victim of crime if the matter of DNA is not solved. I really request to the DNA board and chair to get to the bottom of all the concerns raised by the committee. I wish to thank those board members who did the presentation. It was a good presentation, but obviously you realize that the committee has certain concerns which we hope you will respond to. To Mr. Ramaru and his team, thank you very much. Mr. Ramaru, we appreciate you being here, and your team. To those who are representing the National Commissioner, I've noted that C and Major General Manamela have also been here. Would you like to comment before I close the meeting? Major General Manamela and Mulautsi.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members of the PCOP. Do not have any comments at the present moment. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Major General. I'm sure you will convey this message to the National Commissioner.
Will do so, Chair.
Thank you. Major General Mulautsi.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, we took note of what was presented, and that will convey the message to National Commissioner. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for the fruitful deliberations. The committee, we are moving towards the end of October, and there's a very, very serious demand on our time. I wish all the members well. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much, honorable members. We will communicate to you according to the time slots which will be allocated to you to peruse the Kinnear report, and the details of the next meeting will be communicated to you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to Nicolette, Babawa and Nobesutu for the hard work. You have been working overtime to get things done, sending me documents late at night. I've returned documents to you early hours of the morning. I apologize for this. Your sleep has been disrupted. I take responsibility for that, but you have done a sterling job. Thank you very much to the WIP, Honorable WIP, for assisting. We can always depend on you, Honorable WIP. Thank you very much to all the members of the different political parties. This is one committee where we cannot have party political squabbles, and where the entire nation, our country, depends on us. Thank you to those members who have joined us. Members of SAPS and the Civilian Secretariat. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, WIRP.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you, members. Bye. Bye.